You are listening to episode 21 of the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Welcome to Drunk Sex. Whatever you're into, we've got you covered. So crack open your favorite beverage and join your host, Jen Wadkey, for the Drunk Sex Podcast.
I'm here with my friend Elin.
Hello.
We recorded before.
Briefly.
But we were hardcore drunk.
Yes.
I couldn't even listen to it after because I was like, that's just going to be a shit show.
I don't think I wanted to listen to it.
Yeah.
No.
So you're stone cold sober.
Yeah, I know, right? And sadly, it's the complete opposite for me this time.
Fucking sober January, all you bitches.
Yeah. I've been doing it for 14 years though. So
I know.
It does make me feel good, and I tend to sort of curb myself from February till May.
You know what makes me feel good? Happy hour, where we just were. And you drank water.
I know.
I did not drink water.
No. That's okay.
But I'm not a mess.
No, not at all. You weren't drinking for both of us. You were drinking for yourself.
As I always do.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait. Only a few more days. It's only a few more days.
Oh. Fuck, where were we at that wine club?
I loved Wine Club.
Oh, it was so good.
I miss Wine Club.
They were such a great little wine club. And then
didn't they shut down or stop sending to Vancouver? Like, what was it, Vancouver?
They were like, no, it was a Canadian company. It was an amazing little company that sent us three gorgeous little wine crafts, which totals a bottle, but three different wines in this beautiful box, and you got to taste all the shit. Yeah, it was fantastic. And then, I mean, the Canadian fucking liquor laws are stupid bullshit. And they were just like, tapping out, it's too hard to import stuff with the Canadian liquor laws. Like, it's just, it had become infeasible.
That's too bad. I really enjoyed
that.
It
was too bad. It was a great, yeah, we had a few good nights where I was like, I got the wine because I had bought you a package.
Yeah.
So we got the same wine and it was, you came over.
Yeah, but I would have been happy to renew that.
Yeah, me too. I would have been happy to renew it. It was so great.
Yeah, it was so great. And it's also, it's like when I used to have theater tickets with one of my other friends. Mm. It's just a reason to like, it's a scheduled reason to hang out. It sounds weird.
No.
But you make the time, you make the effort. You know you're going to the theater. You know you're meeting up to try the wines. You know, and you just don't let a bunch of time go by without thinking about it because it shows up and reminds you.
Yeah.
You know? Anyways, yeah, I missed that. That was fun. We should find another one, but I bet you wouldn't be as good.
Well, there's got to be something out there.
Don't they just do bottle ones, though? And I mean, we can drink all three bottles. I'm not worried about us.
The tasting was great. They had these amazing little tasting cards, and they had three different wines that were not easy to get wines generally. Uh-huh. So it was, anyway.
Bad you, company. Bad you.
So did you have any good vacation sex?
Not recently. No vacations recently. It's so funny when you talk about vacation sex, because vacation sex with a partner can be fun.
Yeah.
But I've always been, I've never had the responsibility of children and of other things. So it's never been that big of a difference if you're on vacation. Like, you're a bit more relaxed. Does that make sense? But if you're with a partner, to me, it's a lot of fun. And you don't have to go to work anywhere. And, you know, you've kind of got all day. And you can do whatever you want. But that is totally different than just being on vacation with finding random people to have sex with.
Yes.
So when you say vacation sex, to me, there's two different kinds.
You're correct. And I'm just thinking of it in terms of me being single.
Of course you are.
But of course, I have gone on a couple of with partners. Have I?
Did you and your ex-husband never go on a vacation?
Our fucking honeymoon doesn't count. That was a shit show.
Where did you go on your honeymoon?
We fucking road tripped.
Through fucking Alberta.
Okay. Here's how I knew I needed to get divorced.
On your honeymoon?
Yes, on my fucking honeymoon. Yes, 100% on my fucking honeymoon. So we drove. So I had to book the whole fucking thing. You probably shouldn't have got me started.
Okay.
I booked the whole fucking thing. So we did because I had it that I was like, the wedding, gift opening, and I wanted to honeymoon right away. Like, that was something in my head that I wanted to do. So that was fine. So we road tripped. We drove out to, I found a really great little bed and breakfast out in the Naramata Wine Valley.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so we're like, well, fuck it. Are we going to drive that hardcore in a day? And we're like, no, let's take one or two stops along the way, which we had done, which were
How many hours would that have been from where you guys lived?
Oh, you could full on do it from Melbourne. It's a solid 12-hour drive, but you can do
sure.
it.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
So we stopped somewhere on the way out there. I think I can't remember. And then we got there, and that was like the primary honeymoon place, and they had a hot tub, and we had this like sweet blah 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 blah, and there was this box of truffles, like handmade truffles, and I was like, fuck. And I knew it was going to be there because it was in their little package thing, right? And so we got there, we checked in, whatever, and I can't remember what happened, what we were doing, what I was doing. So anyway, I had come back to the room or what have you, and I was like, well, where are those truffles?
Yeah.
And so he handed me the box of truffles, and I looked at them, and I'm like, you fucking took a bite out of every single truffle.
Oh, no.
And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck? Who does that? And he was like, but I saved you.
Half of each one.
So you could try all of them. And I'm like, no.
Oh my gosh, that two different.
No.
Two entirely different philosophies on marriage.
Not
right
how
there.
It fucking works. And then we apparently had rough sex one night, like the first night, which looking back at that experience in the context of the rest of my life, I'm like, that was not rough sex. So we had sex one time on our honeymoon because he's like, my dick hurts. I can't, like, what's happening? I have gone wrong. You ate not half a box of chocolate, right. half of each chocolate, which is different, and fuck you. And we can't fuck on our honeymoon, like, because you have a dick injury, which, I'm sorry, this is weird, it sounds made up, I don't understand.
Did you guys not live together before you were
married?
No,
no. Oh. And even if you have, like, a dick injury, like, fucking go down on me.
Yeah.
It's our honeymoon. Get me off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that chocolates thing, though, is just the most unbelievable, amazing viewpoint on marriage, right? No, but right there, you guys should have known. I've heard this before, right? It's not like you're drinking out of each other's wine glass. You're drinking wine out of the same bottle.
Like, I'll drink wine out of somebody's wine glass.
Okay, but I'm using the same metaphor as I am with the chocolates. A lot of people, like, discuss it. That's how he sees marriage, that is, like, having that intimate of a relationship and, like, being half of a whole. Whereas you're like, I want to share the box with you. I'm fine with sharing the box, but I don't want to eat the exact same chocolates that you do. Does that make sense? It's actually a very common.
Yeah.
I think that was very telling right there. Just that right
there. Oh, sure. Like, because I was like, I'm ready to divorce you right fucking now.
How long were you married for?
Less than a year and a half. Before we separated, and then we separated for a while before we officially got divorced. But.
Sorry. It's just.
I think the analogy is too simplistic.
Oh, I mean, it's simplistic for sure. But it's a common thing I've heard many times. It's like that same sort of eating the same thing, drinking the same thing, or sharing from the same box of whatever it is. You know what I mean? Having your own person and having your own half, not having to be a half of somebody else's whole all the time.
But I also more to it than that is like, you didn't let me try anything new. Like, you tried every single one of them first.
Oh, interesting. I didn't see
that part. And I didn't get to eat a new, pristine, beautiful chocolate.
I know, but what's really interesting is I bet in his heart he genuinely thought he was doing the right thing because he was saving half for you of each one. This is what I mean. Like, you guys just had different philosophies on the whole thing, right? Because my gut tells me he was thinking to himself, like, but I saved you, like, a bite of every single one so you didn't miss out on anything.
Maybe.
Seriously, this is what I mean. Obviously, fundamentally, you guys had different views on what thing was going to be.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, for sure.
So,
like I said, it lasted like a year and a half.
Yeah. Pretty sure I'm glad I've never been married.
You know, I do remember being on one other random date where I was like, we can't date. And it was over guac.
What?
Oh, yeah. We were at a – we had gone to – it was a first date from, like, one of the online dating things, right? So we met up, and we were at a pub. We ordered some nachos to share or whatever. And I was like, oh, like, should we get some guac? And he's like, get some guac. He's like, that seems like – I can't remember what his words were now. Like, but essentially, he was like, that seems excessive or that's really decadent. And I'm like, fuck me.
Yeah.
if $2 for guac is too decadent for you, we are not going to get along.
There must always be guac.
There must always be guac. There must always be exploration. There must always be like, fuck yeah, bring it on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. I was like, no, you can't order guac. I'm fucking out. There's no date two here.
I never heard that.
Jesus. I'm not wrong.
No, you're not wrong. I just, I wish my memory was better for things like that. Like, I don't have a great long-term memory.
Mm.
And I don't have meaningful things like that that are that small where I can remember having moments where I thought to myself, like, this isn't going to work out.
Oh.
You know, from a specific tiny thing. Like, I remember the feeling of not knowing it wasn't going to work out, but I can't exactly remember the details all the time.
No, fuck you. Oh, don't you tell me moments for you.
No. I know usually right away, like after the first or second date, I can tell if it's not going to work out. That's fine. But I don't remember the specifics necessarily of why. Like, no, like, you know, who was it? Friend Chandler on Friends that always found something.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
everybody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can never remember those things. I just, it's more of a feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. I get to I'm a snapper. I get to a snapping point. Like in romantic and platonic relationships, I will accept and love a lot of flaws in people. And I will take a certain amount of bullshit if there's good sex. I will.
Yeah.
But then there's a point, like this guy was like off and on, and we were fucking retarded good in bed together. But there was just other shit around it and happening and going on. And we were supposed to meet, this is like 2 years ago. We had this like whole night planned where he was going to be in town because he didn't live here. So he was going to be in town, and we had this plan. And so I'm, you know, at home waiting, and I'm like, I'm sure he knows where I live, blah, blah, blah. Like, just no show.
Huh.
Yeah, no shit. And then the next day he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, he like was a member of like one of the like hotel clubs.
Okay. Yeah.
He's like, oh, I had left my phone somewhere, the club, and he got or something. I don't know. He's like, and then it got stolen and I didn't know how to contact you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and maybe that was true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really buy it.
Right.
Don't know. Don't know. And I'll never know. But it was just a burden point. I was like, when I just texted him back, I'm like, you have maxed out my tolerance for bullshit. Done. Like, done.
So he had done other things prior to that.
There'd been a few things, right? Yeah. And most recently, as I told you, with a platonic friend, same thing. I was like, those things you said to me, like, yep, I will throw over a 10-year friendship and not feel bad. Like, no. Done. Like, I'm a snapper in that way.
I don't think snapper. I think it's just boundaries. We all get pushed to a certain limit, and then you cross a certain boundary, and then it's not okay.
Yeah.
And if you, especially if you've been fairly clear about your boundaries, which you seem to be that kind of person, then I don't think that's bad. And that tends to be the way I am with men, frankly.
Mm.
But I can't, if I'm not feeling it, I'm not going to have sex with you.
Yeah.
Like I can't, it's funny. I can separate it really well when it's not a relationship.
Like
I can clearly have sex with somebody who, as we were talking about earlier, I won't even remember their name. But when I'm in a relationship with somebody, I have a harder time. If I'm angry at them or if I'm pissed off at them or something, meh, nope.
Mm.
I will robotically have sex with you if I kind of, you know, feel like it'll get you off my back. But I'm not having fun.
Yeah, women.
But even then, I don't do that really anymore. I would have done that when I was younger. Now that I say it out loud, I'm like, no, I actually don't do that anymore.
I don't know that I've ever done that. I don't know that I've ever gone into sex knowing that it was like a just fuck off, stop talking. Like I've never, I don't think have that obligation kind of sex. But there have been moments once you're in it where I'm like, oh, I've kind of communicated that I'm not into it anymore. You clearly still need to get off, and you're still at me.
Yeah.
So it's easier to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for
robot
me,
it's open.
It's more, sometimes it's been in an effort to reconnect. Sometimes it's been, cause maybe I feel like maybe perhaps I'm overthinking something, which does happen. And sometimes you just need to get on that sort of basal level together again to sort of remember why. So I wouldn't say it's like, I need you to get off my back. It's more, but even I've tried to go into it a couple of times and been like, I'm not feeling it, but I, you know what, maybe this would be good for us. You know, that kind of, this is probably a good thing. And then just been like, no, this isn't very fun, but it's not really your fault. Cause I said yes. So whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I do. So, tell me, regale me with your best sex ever.
Oh, geez. We were talking about this earlier. I don't know.
But you've had some good sex our conversations.
Yeah. There's not like a certain particular situation that I can think to myself was like the best.
Right.
Like there's not one night or two nights where I think, oh my God, that was like mind-blowingly awesome. It never happens like that most of the time. I don't really have that.
Okay.
But I would say there's periods of time where I was just more relaxed. I was older, more in touch with myself. You know what I mean? That it's just been more fun. And I'm getting more out of it than I used to. That's probably the best way to put it. For me, it's been more of an age time period thing.
Mm.
Getting older and sort of not really giving a flying fuck what anyone else thinks.
I can see that about you.
Tends to help your sex drive immensely.
Right? I think so too.
I
think everybody needs to get to the stage of don't give a fuck.
Oh yeah.
And the flip side of that, or hand in hand with that, is if you don't give a fuck, like that doesn't necessarily mean disrespect, but if you don't give a fuck, then there's also less of an obligation to fake it or to do things that you don't want to do or to play into some of this societal bullshit where women are expected to please men, so you just get your partner off. There's there's this like, not into this, like,
no,
I'm out.
I'm also extremely connected stress-wise. Like,
I
can find ways around it as I'm getting older, but if I'm not, like, when I'm feeling relaxed about money and I'm feeling relaxed about the future and I'm feeling relaxed about everything else, I'm more likely to have like an epic few months. Does that make sense? And I've learned how to get around it in other situations. If I'm, you know, in a relationship or I want to have sex with somebody and I'll find a way and I'll just try to forget about everything. But for me, I would say like the good sex comes in like blocks. So like if I'm traveling for a couple months or I find the right person and I happen to be in a job that I'm loving and things are just going really well. And it's got a lot to do with how happy I am than it is.
That
sparked
something that I had recently come across when I was studying sexuality, about that it's basically the dual model sexual response cycle, and there's a few elements around it. But what you were just saying there reminded me that there's a basically breaks in a gas, and people are wired differently. And there are people who, in times of stress, like you were just talking about, like your brick comes on, you're stressed, nothing, don't want to engage. And I'm probably somebody who's the opposite, in that stressor is like it's an energetic, like, and I'm like, I want to fuck all the time. Like, I'm so stressed and I'm vibrating and I'm riled and I'm like, I want to fuck everybody all the time.
Yeah.
And that's fine to be wired in either of those ways, but where I think that comes into play quite a bit, that we don't really have ever given tools to people for in our education, is that if you and I were partners and we were in a stressful financial or home situation, your drive would be decreasing while mine would be increasing.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how the fuck do you navigate that? Like, that is a hard thing. Like, that's – and I think we don't
– yeah.
I think that's a hard, how do we navigate that better? Like, how do we give people the tools to navigate it better? And how do we, because I wouldn't have thought that about you, actually.
Yeah.
I would have thought that you would be like me in that sense, and I don't know why.
Well, interestingly, so I seem to have sort of baseline, like, happiness, like goodness, happiness. And then I have, like, the moderate stress.
Sorry, just hiccup.
Hiccup?
Yeah.
Wine hiccup? The moderate stress, everyday stress, people have stress. And then, but more than like everyday happiness level, you know what I mean? Like where you're feeling not good about something. And then I have like bad. And that's, you know, massive breakups or illness, whatever, bad. Like, and that level of stress, I check out. I check out of everything, my feelings, everything. I could have sex with 7 different people in the next 2 days and I wouldn't even blink. So it's funny because it's almost like levels for me. So, but most of that level of stress like that, or sadness, or if you want to call it depression, it's not always, but it's something's happened usually that instigates, that's quite large.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't happen very often. And I can remember exact periods of my life where it's happened. And I've just basically don't have any capacity to care about anybody else but myself, but in a totally different, almost a slightly self-destructive way, weirdly. But I wouldn't say that I do things I don't want to do. It's not like that at all. It's just, I kind of like switch off and I just go into this sort of manic. Usually I drink too much and I have tons of sex with strangers, which isn't a bad thing. It's just more likely to happen during those times. And then after that, and there's been other times that are like that too, but that's right. But in that middle space, that sort of like things aren't going well, I'm feeling bad about something. I'm a very in my head person. And if I'm in my head, I can't have great sex.
Yeah, I think I'm the same in the sense of in my head person. Like, yeah. I'm always thinking. I've had boyfriends who are like, stop fucking thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
wish I could.
You're like, you're telling me to not be me. And that boyfriend certainly didn't intend to guilt me. But he said it often enough that I was like, what is this? Like, it is something that I do 100%.
Yes, but there's nicer ways to say you're overthinking this, or can I give you a hug so we can stop the.
Well, I think even back then I was like, nope, I'm not buying into this as a bad thing that I do. Mm-hmm. I 100% am thinking all the time and intellectualizing. Mm-hmm. And I know that sometimes that intellectualizing can intrude on pleasure because I'm often. But is it all the time? Because I'm thinking about, you know, sexual pleasure when I'm receiving it a lot of the time. Like, that's just such a natural thing that I do. And I have, on occasion, had partners who just, you know, it was so intense or whatever that finally shut off. But I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing when it's on.
I want to clarify here. It's not like I'm laying there thinking about my credit card bills or whatever is happening.
No. I get that.
When my brain's in that space, I can be fully focused on what's going on, but I'm just less likely to release easily and it's really strange because it's not, if I was thinking about all those things, I feel like there would be more tools. Like, I've heard people talking about that. I've heard people like trying to get out of their heads. I'm not in my head when I'm in it. Very hard to explain, but it's like my brain's it's the way I think of it. Possibly or more likely is that it's my brain's taken up with this cloud and it doesn't have room for much else. It can have room. It's got a little bit of room in there.
So your body's knocking on the door, but the cloud can't open the door because there's so much stuff in there. Already.
Or it's just going to be harder. It's really hard to get the door open.
Yeah.
That thought it's not going to happen. It feels more like that because I'm not one of those people that's like doing a grocery list in my head while I'm having sex with somebody or like thinking about my schedule the next day. I'm really not.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not thinking about that stuff. And I know that many people are, like, especially people that are, you know, have really, you know, stressful lives and many kids and all the other things, that they finally are laying down and they're like, oh man, okay, I got to think about my day. I hear this a lot from, especially from women.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. So I don't have that. It's got something to do with like a physiological brain connection I think what you said about the really full room is the best way to put it. The door doesn't just swing open. If the room's not full and it swings open easily and like all the windows are already open, so let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Otherwise there's just so much stuff in that room that it's really hard to get the door open.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about opening the door. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How can you open the door?
Yeah. Please just let the door get open.
So do you have any worse sex stories?
Oh.
Some of those are the gutters.
God. I really should have thought about these beforehand. Remember that thing I was saying about my really shitty long-term memory?
What?
Well, sadly, I also have I seem to have a very biological response to some partners.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I will get incessant yeast infections. UTIs with one person, and then I will have triple the sex with somebody else next time, and nothing will happen.
Yeah,
and so I don't think I'm rare that way, but I'm just saying physiologically, again, it's more of time periods where I'm like, I might have really liked somebody, but after a while, if you're constantly getting a fucking UTI or a yeast infection every time you have sex with them, you just really stop liking them. Like, I'm sorry, but it just. With one in particular I'm thinking of, it's just not pleasant. Nothing's pleasant. I don't want you to touch me anymore. Like, I'm falling out of love with you very quickly. because it's just, it's not their fault.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. Nobody's fault. It's just the way my body reacts to their pH levels or whatever the hell it is.
I got UTIs all the time with my husband, which maybe was my body fucking rebelling.
Of course he did.
And then I always made him look. I was like, I'm on these drugs for this fucking UTI you gave me. Look at my psychedelic pee.
Oh my gosh.
Look at my like bright green pee.
Oh
or whatever
gosh.
The hell it was.
That's hilarious.
He's like, he would come along, he's like, that's amazing. And then he walk away and I'm like, it's your fucking fault. This is all your fault. It's all your fault.
Well, it's again, it's nobody's fault. I never, and funny enough, I never had
no, I'm sure it's his fault.
Oh, okay. Fine. In your case, it was his fault. But for that, that became like, I don't want to dread sex.
Yes.
And in one particular relationship I'm thinking of, we were like kind of very attracted to each other in the very beginning. And then over time, it wasn't going to work out anyways. I mean, there was a whole bunch of levels of how it was not going to work out. But that added physiological aspect took it, that part of it completely out of it. Because then I was, as much as I was attracted to him, like I could even like, if he would touch me, I would get like little tingles and stuff. But if the thought of having sex with him was like, oh God, please no.
Oh.
Like it's going to hurt or else I'm going to hurt in the next little while. It's not going to be fun.
Yeah.
And then
that sucks.
Nobody wants that.
No.
Nobody wants that. So
you want multiple orgasms.
Yes. So I don't, for me, that's been, and that didn't start happening until my like 30s.
Mm.
So interestingly, so, or even actually after my second sort of long-term boyfriend, so mid 30s. And then my body got really particular that way. And now I consider it just part of the universe's way of speaking to me.
Yeah.
And I know it's going to sound probably a little hoity-toity, but I've also, again, had...
You mean airy-fairy.
Airy-fairy, sorry. But I've also had partners where it's been, like I said, we've had sex multiple times a day, many different ways, and there's never once been any kind of, like, infection, or if there may be one over, like, 5 years, which is a totally normal thing to happen. Not the same thing. And now I just think of it as sort of, I'm probably not the person for me if that's going to keep happening. Because I don't want to spend my life... in pain. But you know what's really funny?
Chugging cranberry juice.
I know other people that have been married for years who have had that and have stopped having sex. Have stopped having vaginal sex and are perfectly happy. Well, you can never know somebody's brain and their marriage, but are still happily married. When I see them, they're happy. They talk about being happy. They're committed to for life. Like they seem like very content individuals. Everyone's different though, right?
I know for sure. I'm talking about me personally, and this is not how I like to fuck is not how everybody likes to fuck. There's no judgment. There's no nothing. Yeah. But like, if I have to give up vaginal sex, fucking throw me off a goddamn cliff.
Yeah, I know, right? I feel the same way.
I mean, you make me choose between oral or vaginal for the rest of my life. I'm picking vaginal every fucking time.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think I could do it. And I've had very frank conversations with both of them, but one person more than the other.
Yeah.
And as I'm closer to that person in this couple, but they definitely went through a phase of being like, is this what I want to continue to do? Right. But at the end of the day, kind of found a happy medium and are good. And I can respect that. Does that make sense? I don't think I could do it.
Yeah. And I want to be clear that I don't think either you or I are saying like, if you can have vaginal,
I'm not judging
100% like, there are a million ways to be sexual physically, obviously with people, and to have that sexual intimacy with people that doesn't involve vaginal. And I've had that for sure.
Yeah.
But personally, my preference, which is not everybody's,
no,
that is something that I could live without.
Yeah. No, me neither. I would lose the attraction in some manner. But I mean, I'm also getting older. I still think a lot of people, I'm realizing more and more that people have best friend marriages.
Yeah. And there's
nothing wrong with that either. You have a partner for life.
Whatever works for you. Like whatever. Didn't we talk about getting married at some point?
Yeah, it would have been lovely.
Best friend married, you and I.
Yeah. Really needed that medical.
I do have medical, baby.
So lucky.
Is this a courting conversation now? Hey, baby. Medical.
Put that on your dating profile.
Oh, fuck yeah. They're like, we're Canadian. We all have fucking medical.
Yeah, exactly. No, extended.
I mean, extended medical.
Exactly. Does that make it that much better for you? Oh yeah, that's awesome. No, it's I don't know. I guess especially in this like one particular partnership I'm talking about, one of these people was extremely promiscuous, and I'm using that word on purpose, for like 15 years and well into their relationship, I believe, which was okay with everybody. But I never thought that person would say that it was okay. Does that make sense? I think also you never know what you're going to do until you get there. Like I say right now that I wouldn't be able to do it, but who knows?
Oh, this is the person that's no vaginal.
Yeah. Mm. So it just surprised me in particular, this particular situation, and never thought that I would ever hear that coming out of that person's mouth.
Huh.
But, you know, but again, you never know until you're in it. And this person found the person that they want to be with for the rest of their lives. And it's such a partnership. Like when you see them together, you're like, it just works. Like
oral, anal, are those on the table?
I haven't gotten into the exact specifics of it that way because I just had a lot of questions about the, like, the non-vaginal, how it wasn't uncomfortable for that person, how it wasn't like how I was very intrigued by that.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
And it had to do with something medical that also happened. Ovarian stuff. Like it's not like she had an accident or anything like that. Right. I'm not trying to, it wasn't, which is also a whole other level of
sure.
finding ways to get around things.
Sure.
But it started out that way. And then it kind of just never came back. The same kind of like non-painful, non-infections, it just never came back.
So she's cool and he's cool?
They're all good. And I think that's great for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just never know until you get there, I think.
Yeah. And you can be however you want to be.
Totally.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't really have one really good, like laughable bad sex moment when returning to that initial conversation or question that you had. I know there's been times where I've been like, this is not fun. Can we stop now? Like I've literally said that.
I thought you went the podcast and I was like, oh no. Okay.
No, not yet.
You can stop this podcast at any time.
I know. Yeah, I know. I don't have like any wonderful stories where I'm like, that was really shit.
Me neither. That's a fucking lie.
Well, maybe it's also because if it's that bad, I kind of just brush it off. I'm like, okay, well, that sucked. We're not going to do that again. Like, I'm fairly pragmatic about stuff like that. Mm. I'm like, okay, well, sucks to be you or either person that I'm going to have sex with again. We're never trying that again.
Yeah.
Or person I've never had sex with more likely is going to be like, no, we're not doing this again. Although funny story, my sister has some friends that are quite, this isn't a big secret I'm telling by any stretch of the imagination, but who always laugh and say that if they had not seen each other after the first time they had sex, they bumped into each other, something happened. They would have never gotten married because the sex was so shit the first time. They were like never going back and they just happened to run it. Something happened and they ran into each other and the second time was like amazing. But they always say if that they hadn't been thrown together after that first time, they would have never seen each other again.
Do I know?
You're going to say you give everything twice. I try everything twice usually.
Yeah, I was going to say that I generally don't have high necessarily expectations for the first time because I had a lot of shitty first experiences where I'm not going to judge. Like, we don't really know each other or whatever the situation. But in my later years and recent dirty years, the flip side of that is that I've had some really fucking amazing one-night stands.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I didn't know where that – I guess I'm at the point where I don't think the first time is a barometer of anything anymore. It doesn't mean
– not of a relationship.
Anything.
For me. If it was somebody I was really into and I was like – maybe been dating for a while or knew for a while without that sexual part of it. I wouldn't go by my first encounter with them. No. But if it's just some random person, I'm like, I just don't feel like I need to see you again. I tend to go that way.
But then like these people, if you do, then maybe.
Yeah. But hey, if I'm meant to be, hopefully I'll run into them at Starbucks.
And I think there's a difference somehow in terms of like there's your compatibility, sexuality together. Like that's one thing. And that's something that I think can come, pun intended.
I was waiting for that.
With time. Like sometimes it's just an awkwardness, right?
Yes, I agree.
But then I think there is also another, like a literally human chemical element. Like I've been with people where I'm like, where I make sex and I'm like, you actually smell wrong. to me. Like, you taste
the pheromone
wrong.
Thing is wrong.
Like, and that there's mm-hmm. no going back from that. Like, you can't.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Although I do find it interesting how when you start to fall out of love with somebody, they start to smell different and taste different. Have you ever noticed that?
I haven't noticed that.
Oh, it happens to me. And actually, I've had a few friends over the past, I'd say 5 or 6 years that have gotten divorced, and a couple in quite like tragic ways, like they've been wronged.
Mm.
And one distinctly stands out on my mind because they had been apart. He cheated on her and he left her abruptly. And she hadn't seen him in a while. And she ran into him and they kind of like gave each other the perfunctory, cursory hug. And she called me right after and she was like, he smelled so different.
Mm.
Like familiar, but not like I wanted to lean into him the way I used to. Like when I used to smell that smell, I would want to like lean into it, you know? Oh, she's like, he smelled familiar, but wrong. And she's like, I feel like I might actually be over this. Like I might be getting over this. And that was a really interesting moment for her, was to have that.
Sure.
Again, familiar. Like, I don't know if I'm lucky to be friends with a number of people that I've had sex with over the years and an ex-boyfriend or two as well. And it's still, when I hug them, it's still that very familiar. It takes you back to that time,
yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But, in some cases it's like familiar, but like, oh, like pat on the head familiar. You know what I mean? Like
right.
Familiar, but like, oh, we had a great time, didn't we? And then there's also familiar and you're like, whoa, wow, that's familiar. And that's kind of hot. You know what I mean? There's different kinds of,
yeah,
you know? So I think for me, when I'm starting to fall out of love with somebody, and it takes like, we've talked about this, but when I'm in, when I'm out. I've mm-hmm. either only been in relationships for under 2 months or over 2 years. That's it. And it takes a lot for me to fall out of love at the end. Does that make sense? But I can always tell when it's happening and it ekes in. The shorter term ones, it tends to happen after a month. And that's how I know it's not going to stick. If it gets to 2 months, usually I'm in. Obviously I'm in. Because it'll start to happen pretty quickly for me. But like the glow of like the initial sexual attraction will just dissipate.
How many times have you been in love? Two names pop into my head.
You probably don't know about my first boyfriend when I was in high school.
Oh, okay.
We dated for 4.5
years. So you think the other two I'm thinking of are correct?
Yes.
Okay.
They would be right. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, my first one was a 4.5 year long relationship.
When right.
I was like high school until like, I think I was 17 to like 22. Oh. Like along those lines. I was 10, 21 maybe. He was my first love. And I mean, I still wouldn't say that. I would say that probably the one after that was a little bit more like intense and like earth shattering when it ended. But you know, it's the first love. It's that first, like, we were very compatible.
You started to say symbiotic.
Yeah, but it was the wrong word.
Yeah.
It was, I actually ran into his parents recently.
17's pretty young.
17's young.
To fall in love.
But I was kind of a late bloomer that I didn't have like a lot of, you know, people have boyfriends, quote unquote, when they're like 12, 13, 14, 15, all this stuff.
Not me.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
He was, but it's that whole, like, when it clicks for me, it's hard to explain. I just kind of know.
Mm.
And we always just got along really, really well. And we worked. And it was the same with the other two. It was easy. Not necessarily the whole relationship was easy, but like getting together was easy and being together was easy and being around each other was easy. There was never, I haven't had long-term relationships where like I fight with somebody all the time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, I mean, I'm not a temporary person to start off with for the most part, but you know, like those, you know, we fight all the time and we love each other. It's not, that's not really my jam.
No, mine neither.
Yeah. So it was an easy answer. So it must be the three.
Yeah.
No, you know, when something comes out really fast, you're like, yep, no, that was it.
No, that's it.
It's been a long time now.
Since
the last one.
That's the one
that you and I know mutually.
You're right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. 14 years.
And he was the last one?
Yeah.
Huh. Have you had threesomes?
Oh yeah.
I don't.
Now I'm counting. Am I trying to think about it? How many have I had? Again, with the fucking, I don't remember past the past 10 years.
I'm not sure if you've shared them with me.
I'm not sure if I have either.
Well, now that we're recording.
I'm not going to lie. I don't remember much about my early like 20s ones.
That's legit.
I know there was two guys. Like I remember that time in my life. I remember who they were, but I don't remember I barely remember the night. Like, I don't think I even remember what they look like naked, frankly. I'm horrible this way. I'm really horrible. Like, sidebar, my sister is constantly telling stories when other people are around. And then I'll be like, wow, that's really interesting. When did that happen? She's like, you were there. really? And now we've basically decided that it's a good thing that she has such a good memory because I don't. And at least she can tell me stories over time that I was there for and I'll never forget them because she'll remind me. Yeah, there was the Toronto one, which was probably the last one.
Was now this when they mistook your name at the airport?
Yes.
Oh.
I am very lucky. I've done a lot of traveling in my time. And when I was younger, we lived really close to the American border in Blaine, in Washington. So I used to flip across the border constantly. We'd go across to get gas. We would go across to pick up, you know, get beer. We would, it was a very, very common thing to constantly do.
Yep.
So I'm extremely lucky in that I never got like caught smuggling anything. I never, not that I did a ton.
Because you weren't smuggling anything.
No, of course not. But I have, the reason I say that is because I had friends that did and then got caught when they were teenagers and still to this day are like harassed at the border. And I just never, my dad was a cop. Like we just didn't do stuff like that. I didn't do stuff like that. So I never had any of those black marks on my name in crossing borders. So, and I have an Australian passport as well as a Canadian one. And I've just been extremely lucky. I usually just go straight through. Like I can't even think of a time when they've asked me more than two questions, except for this one particular time. And I don't know if this is the time to have the whole entire fucking story of how that happened.
No, because we want to cut to the threesome.
Let's just say, and this is a pretty much common life thing for me. I get by for a long time on one thing and then something will just go horribly wrong. And when it goes wrong, it goes really wrong. And then I'm out again. And that's kind of what happened with this. So they mistook me for somebody else.
Yeah. Name
very similar to mine. Yes. So they, and what happened was I was on a flight from here to Toronto, Toronto to New Orleans.
Yeah.
And, which is a strange trajectory, but it was Canada Day or something. And it was the cheap flight. Oh, I wasn't even paying for the flight. That was the other thing. Somebody else had bought it for me, which was very sweet. I was on my way to meet the guy that I was dating at the time. And so when they mistook my name and put me into the little room where you have to wait and talk to people, my flight left. So I was there for long enough that my flight left. And so once they figured out that it was not me and apologized profusely, I went out and they said, there's no more flights. I'm like, you're SOL for the rest of the day. We can get you on one tomorrow. I'd never been to Toronto. And in retrospect, the funny part of this story is I actually had like five friends that lived in Toronto. I wouldn't say they were like super close friends, but people I probably could have called. And afterwards I was like, why didn't
Maybe there was a reason.
I mean, it's not that I had a bad night. It was a fun night, but I was really pissed off because at the time I wasn't super swimming in money, but they don't pay for you to have a hotel room if you miss your flight, if they pulled you over at the border. Like there's nothing, you don't get anything out of it. So I had to buy a hotel room for the night.
Ugh.
I had to like, you know, and it's just, and I was lucky because I was hotel points with somebody. So I went in and I just said, I'm a member. Can you give me just a really good deal for tonight? And they did. And that was nice of them, right near the airport. So people often say to me, you know, have you ever been to Toronto? And I just go with no, because technically stayed the night in Toronto in some random hotel. I've never seen any of Toronto. I've never been past like maybe 5 kilometers from the airport, but I had to stay in Toronto. And so I was pissed off. I was sad because we'd had this like really wicked dinner reservation in New Orleans for that night. And I'd been to New Orleans before and I was really looking forward to it. So we had to screw that. And couldn't get another reservation. And just multiple layers of pissed off. And the fact that they also mistook me for like, I think a child molester or something. And
what?
If you know me at all.
Not a child molester.
No. And I have a lot of respect for children. I love children. That was just a bunch of things all layered up. And there was a keg across the road from my hotel. So I was like, fuck this. I'm going to go have a steak and a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
So I ordered an entire bottle of wine for myself, which now doesn't seem like that much, but at the time was a lot. And
I admit that I don't have the balls, despite clearly being an alcoholic, to order a bottle of wine at a restaurant to myself. I'm like, I have never done.
Doesn't it seem stupid, though? Because think about how many glasses you've probably had sometimes.
Like one?
Uh-huh, right. Isn't there a zero after that? No, okay.
No, I know full well in the glasses the one that I ordered. Well, I know I've drinking.
Do you know what's interesting?
The extent of a bottle.
Do you know what is interesting, though, too? I don't want to say it's super recent in BC, but it's recent enough that it's like the last 5 years. You can cork the bottle and take it with you.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Fuck, I've been doing it wrong.
You've been doing it wrong.
Shit.
So for all the Vancouver listeners, there's an Italian restaurant that does Wine Wednesdays. And if you buy a bottle, it's only like $20 or something. And the first time I learned about this is because I was with my niece and nephew, and they really loved this Italian restaurant. And I was going to have one glass of wine over dinner. And she was like, are you sure? Because it's Wine Wednesday and the bottle's only $20. I'm like, I started laughing. So I'm like, I can't drink a bottle of wine and drive my niece and nephew anywhere. Like, this is, thank you, but no. She's like, you could just put the cork in. I'm like, what? I can drink the rest of the bottle for sure at home later.
Well, no kidding, right?
I did not know that that was a thing that we could
yes.
do.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
So I keep meaning to go to this pasta place, actually, because I love the pasta there, on Wednesdays, because it's always a thing in my head that I can get the bottle for so cheap and then just drink the rest of it the next day or whatever, right? Anyways.
So back to your threesome.
We can do that. Back to the threesome.
Back to the threesome.
Order the bottle of wine. Order the steak.
Have a threesome.
Remember drinking the bottle of starting to drink the bottle of wine, remember having my steak, remember talking to the couple next to me.
Couple guy and man and woman?
Yeah. Yeah. They're a couple. Like they were a couple.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Having a lovely time with them. And it's not, I wasn't drugged or anything like that. I think I was heightened emotionally and I was drinking a lot. And that led to me never using that hotel room, which is hilarious as well. I think went back to pick up my stuff the next morning. That was it. So I ended up staying with them and that was fun. Like I had a fun night. There's moments that I don't remember as well as other moments. We traded sunglasses and to this day, I still have those sunglasses. I don't really talk about it though. It's really funny that you I never told the guy I was dating. Just didn't. It was like this little thing that happened in this like little compact space. And not that I feel the need to talk about it to everyone, but it's just, almost to the point where I kind of forget about it.
Oh.
Until somebody asks me pointedly a question like, have you had a threesome? Or have you ever been to Toronto? And then it'll flash in my brain. I'm like,
oh yes, I have. I had a threesome in Toronto.
But it's not a thing that sits with me.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But I think that was the last one.
That was a while ago.
I've had sharing situations where I've had my own room and somebody else has had their own room and we've shared.
Like,
the third
tell
person.
Me about that.
Not that long. It was definitely after that. We were just out, me and a friend of mine, girlfriend of, like, and we met this guy and yeah, had sex with him at different times.
Huh.
Yeah. That's fine. And then at the end of the day, it was like, I was exhausted and he wasn't doing it as much as he was for her. So I was like, you can go ahead. Bye.
Well, we're going to stop that here. Thank you to my special guest, Elin.
If I can remember any of the specifics of any of those past experiences, I will happily share them with you at a future date.
And then I will share them.
Perfect.
Or we will record again.
Perfect.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And if you want to tell me your stories, you can reach me at, I think it's Jen at drunksexpodcast.com or Jen at jenwaki.com. Either one. Whatever. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Drunk Sex Podcast with Jen Wodke. For more sex talk, head over to the Jen Wodke Facebook group or check out jenwodke.com. Till next time, happy boozing and sexing.